Don't be afraid. This is something that, though we train ourselves, we caution ourselves, and I could even speak for servicemen that wonder, really, when I'm in combat and it's the real thing, will I be afraid? Well, the answer to that is yes. Most everyone is. But when you're fighting in a little different army, and you're in our Father's army, though fighting for the army of this great nation, we have some of the best equipment that's ever been created by man. But when you're in God's army, and that was very appropriate that the little one sang that today, we've got heavier equipment than that would make their stuff look like pea shooters, all right? Because our Father has made promises, and He does take care of us. And that means even in your daily lives, many people seem to weave all this together and think, well, that just means when I'm doing something holy. Well, if you're a servant of God, you know, He watches over you always. And everything you do is important. Even the things you do that sustain this flesh body, because you got to have it for a home for your soul that perhaps Father has chosen to do some work for Him. If you don't start following squirrels and get all messed up and drift away from the Father's Word, then probably you should be afraid. So you concentrate and focus on Him, asking all things in the Son's name, because that gives credentials to you that you're sold out to Him, that is to say, our Father. Now, I want to just talk about a few things. This is going to be so basic, but it's good for us occasionally to get back to the basics, and our very lives document that we get shook up so easy and tense when you're something special, really, as in the eyes of God. He loves you. And if you could see the dimensions that surround you, you certainly don't have anything to worry about if you use this right. Naturally, God always expects you to be a doer, all right? But you can become, in a way, too much of a doer if you leave off trust and faith. That's kind of one of the things where Cain fell short. Abel offered blood for a sacrifice, that's to say, a lamb, the type that only the lamb's blood would be adequate for a sacrifice, where Cain tried to make it with the sweat of his brow with some old scrawny roots that he'd growing out here. No blood. Because he really didn't have any to offer, really. If you want, I mean, different subject, different time. But you can trust our Father. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, the very first chapter. And we're just going to focus on some of God's promises. They are true. You can count on it. It's part of you, or it should be a part of you. It should be a part of your daily life. His instructions on how to operate these bodies whereby you can be successful, whereby you can find peace of mind. You don't have to be afraid, and most of all, you don't have to worry. Worry is the biggest waste of time in the world. It's absolutely useless. It's worth nothing, zip, zero. That does not mean that planning your day is not important. That's not worry. That's common sense. Never start a journey unless you know where you're going, all right? Only nuts drift, all right? They have no anchor, which means they have no Christ. And they'll follow anything. Give it a name, and a little class, and hey, we're out of here. Focus on your Father, what He has to say, okay? So, let's pick it up, if we may, with verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And unto the church of God. Now, whose church? What is a church in the first place? It's not a building. It's a body of people that believe upon Jesus Christ. That's what we could walk out in the middle of that parking lot. It'd be a little more uncomfortable, but that would be church out there, not here. Doesn't have anything to do with the building necessarily, all right? And it's a church of who? Of God. So who should be taught there and who should be in control? God. Yahweh. Which is at Corinth or anywhere, all right? To them that are sanctified, we're getting some specifics here, in Christ Jesus, and that's the full name, the anointed Savior of God, called to be saints. Now that puts a little different slant on the third level to the ear that should be listening. That called means elect, all right? And it doesn't cut out anyone else. I want you to understand that. It just includes and is inclusive to document to you that Paul is also going to teach on the third level. Okay. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. That's all inclusive. You can't take that away from anyone. The saints make up the church that teaches, in a sense. And when you plant seeds, you're teaching. When you do a work for God, you're teaching, in a sense, or you're reaching out, communicating, and all teaching is communication. And what makes you a teacher of God's Word is if it is His Word, you're communicating. But a church, which is a body that does not teach God's Word, is certainly not a church of God. That is to say, one that follows Him. If they're teaching a bunch of malarkey in it, it's a malarkey church. And you want to be able to pick up on that kind of stuff quick. Because you're in a generation that if you drift away and lose your focus and discipline, a Christian that isn't disciplined isn't worth a flip. Never count on them to do anything because they won't be there. They'll be off squirrel hunting because they heard some nuts were down on a creek or something. So off they go. You can't count on them. And God will depend on people that He can count on to complete His work. All right? People are very much a large part of the church. They make up the church, in other words, especially the called. Verse 3, grace, that's favor, God's favor, be unto you. Do you know what that means? God favors you, and you're worried. You're afraid, and God favors you? I would hope not. And peace from God our Father. That's where it comes from. You're not going to find peace of mind anywhere else. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's put it all together. The Godhead, you've got it. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Paul says, I thank you for that because you know what? When people receive God's grace and they follow Christ, they're good people. You can count on them. They are valuable. They amount to something. And you can depend on them. But never depend on the wind. It's God's Word. Verse 5. That in everything ye are enriched by Him. What does that mean? Everything. Your lives, your family, your evaluation of yourself, your thought, is enriched by focusing on the Word of God because all wisdom comes from the Word of God. That in everything you are enriched by Him, and don't ever forget it, by who? By Him. In all utterance and in all knowledge, inasmuch as all wisdom comes from Him, that's where you're going to get it. That's where you're going to find how to be successful in life. Otherwise, you're kidding yourself. You're grabbing at straws and they're not connected to anything. And did God ever tell you to be successful by grabbing straws? I think not. He told you how to take control to be a can-do type person. And if you have the wisdom, and if you have the gifts that He gives, and He gives them abundantly to those He can depend on, you can cut it. You can get it done. I don't care how many enemies or how strong Satan is in the world, we're stronger. We, when we are joined with Him, are immovable. By that I mean God's power in you, and if it be God's will, it's going to happen. You can get it done, all right? And a great deal of it has to do with knowledge. Well, how do I gain knowledge? Well, what do you want knowledge about? Do you want knowledge about space? That's something you really need to know. What propulsion unit should you use, and will it burn fossil fuel or what? What has that got to do with you today? Unless you're in that business. That's high tech, and you can spend years and years in engineering and in propulsion, and you're going to learn a great deal about space and what it takes to put something up there. But doesn't it make you feel a little strange when you look out and see the moon and know your father? Get over there. Get in place. Line up. Whoa, that's it. Here you spend a lifetime learning how to burn fossil fuel, because that's all we've ever done. We don't have any other fuel to speak of. Well, you missed it, buddy. We have atomic energy. Well, what's uranium? Rotten, rotten, rotten. Okay? Don't give me that stuff. You can't kid an old Marine, all right? They've been there. So, the real wisdom is where? Here. He's the one that knows how to get it done. And He promised you, I'll be merciful. I'm going to show unmerited favor. But what does a wise person then? You've got to have the knowledge. It says it right there. In all knowledge, all utterances. What are you going to speak if you don't have knowledge? Nonsense. Sure not going to be anything that could benefit anyone a great deal. That's why you see a lot of people say, I know I was called to be a preacher. And they don't know any more about God's Word than they do flying to the moon. But they all get up and make a noise. It's an utterance. Be careful, my friend. You're playing with your own soul. And the knowledge comes from God's Word. And as I have taught you, hopefully, don't listen to this man or any other man without checking him out or her in God's Word. It's got to line up. If it doesn't make common sense, that doesn't mean you're stupid. That means someone else is. Do you want me to say that again? If someone comes off with some highfalutin equation or formula about how you can be happy and it doesn't make common sense and doesn't align with God's law, you're not stupid. They are. They're probably from the politically correct group, okay? Let your kids go wild and they'll grow up to be nice people. All right. Well, how did we get off on that? I don't know. These election years are terrible, aren't they? I tell you, Okay, verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Do you know what that, do you have it? Do you know what a testimony is? In you, do you have it? That experience. And the testimony that Christ gave for you to absorb, do you have it? It's called the gospel. That's God's spell, or the good news. So that ye come behind in no gift. Now think about it. The subject is don't be afraid. I want to read that to you one more time. so that ye come behind in no gift while what? While waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, people, just, I suppose patience is one of the hardest things for us to rise to. You know, I want patience now, immediately. It takes wisdom to have patience. Have you ever noticed among elderly men and women that study God's Word and that follow Christ as best they can, people always say, have you noticed how they've mellowed? Do you know what that really is? It's wisdom. Now, you understand, you know the people I'm talking about, that I said study God's Word and become acquainted with it. It can't help but humble and mellow man. God's Word changes lives. It's just that some of us have to wait a lot of years before we finally get around to it. That's why it seems like that they mellow in their old age. You know, sometimes people learn the hard way. 70 years old, every time he goes down that path, he falls flat on his face because there's a rock there that he hasn't moved. And over and over and over. And finally, one day when he's 69 years old, he wakes up and says, I'm going to go down there and dig that darn rock out and move it. Why did it take 69 years? I don't know, because we're human beings, I guess. Let that just be a word of caution and a little input you can place into your mind, because mellow now. Mellow in His Word. Don't get so excited on your first cruise. Some little thing happened and just scared them and worries them to death. Why? It's going to work out. As a matter of fact, if you don't get quite so shook up, you'll come up with a solution a lot quicker, even in your daily life. So how many of the gifts do you have that he hands out so liberally? Liberally. You know? I don't know. Get all of them you can. Of course, they're God-given, and he knows how many you can handle. And the reason you don't have them, if you're trying, is he's not ready for you to have it yet. Right? But that doesn't mean give up. Keep seeking knowledge and wisdom in him. And about right along now, some super holy person is saying, are you trying to say wisdom is what saves us? No, I didn't say that at all. But wisdom will make you a wise person where you're not so stupid. Okay? That's what I'm saying. I'm a very direct realist, all right? If it's that way, that's the way it is. Knowledge takes away stupidity, or ignorance, correctly said. And ignorance is not really a bad word. It just means he don't know nothing. Okay? That's all about that particular subject. Might be brilliant in something else. But the subject is God's Word. Stay sharp in it, for all things hinge from God's Word. And make sure that while you're waiting for Christ to return, that you do what he expects you to do, not what you think you are to do. Or not what somebody else might tell you to do. That is, if you want his gifts, and if you want his mercy, hey, you're going to do it his way. You know why? He's in charge. And he's the giver, and you're the givee. And I guarantee you one thing, he'll never give you more than you can take care of. Do you know why? Because if he gives you more than you can take care of, somebody's going to rip you off, and you're not going to have it anyway because you can't take care of it. God is very intelligent, all right? Now, that I have everyone in the right frame of mind. Verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end? that you may be blameless. This is important. This is the purpose. That you may be blameless in that day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to happen before then? Antichrist is going to appear. Some of you are going to be have some blame off on you if you're not careful. You go to chasing squirrels and nuts instead of focusing and being disciplined in God's Word, you're going to have a day of shame. Because God is intelligent enough and in control, and naturally a wise person. It doesn't take somebody too smart to know it's going to happen that way. Verse 9, God is faithful. What does that mean? You can count on it. You've heard the old saying, we have as good as money in the bank. Well, that's faith that's better than money in the bank. God is faithful. If He says it, it's going to happen. That's the hardest thing in the world for people to learn. If God says it, you can count on it. It's going to happen. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be afraid. You know what's going to happen. Prepare for it. And you won't have any problem. All right? God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Called. Again, stipulating the elect. Well, is this, that's New Testament stuff, isn't it? Yeah, that's New Testament stuff. But do you think that God, who is in control, changed when the New Testament came along? I hope you don't think He did. Because He's the same yesterday. He's going to be same today. And He's going to be the same tomorrow. That's why you can count on His faithfulness. He's not going to change. You may, and He may have to kind of get a little switch and say, hey, get back in there, you know? I don't know how many cattlemen or sheepmen they are here, but or you might say, you that are not agriculture, you have a cat. Scat! Get back in there, you naughty kitten, you. You know how you talk to your cats? Okay? Well, God has to do that to you sometimes, all right? It's to keep you out of trouble. So, or before you get in bad trouble. And you can count on that, too. Well, let's go to the Old Testament. He's the same always. Let's see if He mentioned anything like this that we could trust Him enough that we didn't have to be afraid and didn't have to worry. If we love Him, if we trust Him... Psalms 1, how does 125 sound? Does that sound like a good number? I mean, that's 1 1/4. Psalms 125. Let's see if there's a good message there. It's a song of degrees. The third blessing in peace. It's kind of titled by scholars of the Psalms. As the degrees of the whole pie come around. But the important thing is the message, verse 1 of Psalms 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot, I repeat, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. What did that say? This is written to they that what? Trust. In God. You're just like Mount Zion. Now, that says a whole lot if you know about Mount Zion. Have you ever read Ezekiel chapter 16? Where God, that created the whole universe, every planet, every star, the whole earth, had one mountain that He fell in love with. He married her. He saw her when she was born of an unclean birth. Why? The Jebusites created her, built her, and they named it Jebus. David comes along and takes it, conquers it, and it becomes a city of love, in a sense, Yerushalayim. And God fell in love with her. And when she grew and matured to the point that she was a full-grown woman, He covered her. and took her to wife. When he says you're just like Jerusalem, what does that mean? That means he took you because he loves you, because he wants to use you. And for just a day or two, forever, I mean forever, you are protected if, can you cut it? I mean, can you manage this? If you trust him. You know, I've read many scriptures in Father's Word. I've memorized them. I've watched them. And I have learned one thing in the short time, about 50 years that I've been doing this. I've learned one thing that I've noticed. As sure as the sun comes up in the morning and sets at night, you can trust God, because even though we forget sometimes, he doesn't. It always happens exactly as it's written. The reason I wanted you to focus on this and discipline yourself in it, there are qualifications there. If you don't trust him, forget it. It's not talking to you. You're like a reed shaken in the wind. Every little wind that blows, you're going to end up on another hill somewhere. You have to trust him, and then you stabilize in life. You know where you are, and you know where you're going. Why? He will place that in you through the Holy Spirit and his Word, and he will begin to use you. And quite frankly, I'll just tell you something. The more fruit you produce, the more God is going to bless you. Bless what you're doing. You don't produce no fruit. And what did he say about the tree that produced no fruit? You remember it. It was a fig tree. What's that thing doing in here? Cut it down and get rid of it. Think about yourself. How are you doing, friend? How much fruit have you produced? Are you just cluttering up the ground? Trust him. You know, you have to realize, I'm going to tell you something. You all are producing a lot of fruit, because we are a church. We're one body. And the Father only knows our quiver is full and running over. As a matter of fact, it won't be long until we're wondering. We've either got to go to Springdale to get a bigger building, put this big television out that door, and ask you local people to all sit out there or stand, and we're going to dust it so the ticks and chiggers are gone. John's going to do that. But because there's so many people coming in here that I don't know what we're going to do, but I know God knows, and we're going to take care of it. Us country people can do it. If we have to go clear out behind the milk barn down there to get everybody in here and everything, we'll do it. We'll get the milking done. It'll work. So it's going to be quite a time. See? But the thing is God blesses those that discipline themselves in his Word. He says that if you trust him, you're like that Mount Zion that he married, and he's around you all the time. Next verse, 2, tells it. As the mountains are around about Jerusalem. Look at her, all right? Protected by mountains. So the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. He's not a man that courts a woman a week or so. First time he has to buy her dinner, he's gone. Okay? He's gone. No, God courts forever. I mean, he's not a fancy Dan. He means business. He's stable. And if you trust him. But if you trust him, you've got to discipline yourself. A person that is undisciplined is about as worthless as being in agriculture. There's a lot of things come in my mind and I'm trying to decide which one I want to say. I'm going to say brass horns on a billy goat. That kind of crosses up sayings for some of you, I know, but billy goat don't need brass horns. That's why I'm saying that, all right? So, God takes care of you. You can count on it. Why are you afraid? Don't you think, you know, do you understand that to be afraid when you read a scripture like this, that you're doubting God? Wake up. He promises, I'm around you. If you have to, get you a picture of Jerusalem and the surrounding area and look at the mountains that protect her. Man, we could go on and on. Number one, there's the Mount of Olives, where the great address was given by Jesus Christ that protects to the east, all around her. He said, that's the way I am to you. Can you believe it? I don't know. Are you a believer? I guess if you are, you do. Or you're playing games, one or the other. Because that isn't just a saying. That's a fact. That's pure data. He is around you. He does take care of you. And there's not a one of you in this room at some time in your life, if he hadn't have been, you wouldn't even be here. I mean, you would have been wiped out, splattered, and gone. And you know it. He takes care of his own. I don't know. This kind of separates the believers from those that say, I believe, but really don't mean it because they're afraid. With him in control, you don't have to be afraid of anything. There are no giants out there anymore. You and your father make a giant. Unbeatable. Verse 3. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest, that means except, the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. That rod, you know what that is? Shebit. You know what it means? It means it's a branch of. It's a limb. It's a stick. It's a rod. And the very word shebit means to correct, to chastise, to punish, and number whatever it is, to rule. How do you let the rod? Do you know who the rod of the wicked is in the Hebrew? It's the rod of the wicked one, shebit. Satan's right at the door with his shebit. Every time you open it and walk out. And I hope you're the type that when you open that door and walk out, he runs like a rabbit. Because he's afraid of you, because he knows who walks in your shoes beside you. Because he is afraid of God. But you don't have to be afraid of him. Now, there's a lot more said there than you're going to pick up on if you're not careful. Because a lot of people that are not really learned in the Scripture are going to say, he said that if I'm righteous, the rod of Satan will never strike my back. Never. You can teach it and you can guarantee it. God said it. He didn't. Now, what did it really say? Let's go back and look, because it's important. For the rod of the wicked shall not what? Rest. Do you know what rest means? Upon. It means to keep being there. Doesn't mean it can't hit you once. If I put a saddle on a horse and take it right off, the saddle got on the horse, but I took it off. But if I leave it there for a week, well, you're not going to do that, but for a day, it's resting there. So don't let Satan, it's your choice. He didn't promise you. You want to be careful of these Christians that'll say, well, I don't know why God let Satan tempt me. Well, fool, he promised you he would. He promised you. But he also promised you, Luke chapter 18, verse 10. I'm sorry, reverse it. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. I give you power over all your enemies, and that includes Satan. As a matter of fact, he starts it, I beheld Satan as a star fall to the earth. He's not going to let Shebet, rest on your back. He may hit you every once in a while, but when he does, you turn around, take names, and kick dragon. He'll slip up on you, but you don't put up with it. You take charge, and him and his little evil spirits will run like monkeys through the timber. That's the truth. They're afraid of you. If you exercise the power and the authority that trusting him places in those he has chosen. What am I saying? You don't need anything but God, really, if you discipline yourselves. That's a very important verse. And if you ever get a little whack from the devil, why do you take it? Because the Spirit is in you. The Spirit is of God, and God, vengeance belongeth to God. So what are you going to do? Well, if I wasn't so holy. Well, the real holy thing to do is take names and kick dragon. Right? A real holy person does. Verse 4. Do good. Have you ever heard of a prayer you don't need to make? This is a prayer in this verse you don't need to make. Listen to it. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. It's just not necessary to make that prayer. You don't have to ask God to do good to those that do good. His nature can't prevent him from helping those that do good. Well, what's doing good? Well, his witness, his testimony. And beloved, do you know what a testimony is? When you walk in the morning into your work, you're a walking testimony right going in there. You know what I'm saying? Whew! Boy, he had a rough night last night, didn't he? You can tell by looking. You know? Or, whew, wonder what he's so happy about. Did you see that? Just makes you feel good to be around that dude. He just vivaciously brings things to life. You're a testimony. You're a witness. And yeah, we get those days that we're not the happiest people in the world. You know what I mean? But give him a break and tough it out. I'll use myself as an example. I don't know why, but there is something that blooms in this area every year at this time that drives my sinuses bonkers. And when I showered to come down here, my eyes were going crossed like this. I mean, I couldn't see straight. But I've done it long enough that I know that if I do my best and get started, as soon as the mantle falls and the anointing takes place, it's gone. Because I trust him. And my eyes aren't crossing too bad. They're not at all, okay? I don't think. Are my eyes crossed, darling? Oh, she says no. All right. So, trust him. And whatever you have to do for him, you will be able to. Again, want to build something? Is it really for God or is it for you? If it's really for God, you do the work and guess what? He'll furnish the bricks. I promise you that because he did. And I've experienced in my life to know it's a fact. If you'll do the work, don't be one of these people that sit back and say, I just know God's going to use me any day now. I'll just go rest back down and be a couch potato for a while again. He'll come along. No, he won't. You got to be a doer, a can-do type individual. Or I got some bad news for you. God doesn't want you. He really doesn't. Because he can't. If you've got a business or whatever it is you do and you need somebody to help you, do you want a couch potato that's just going to sit there and grunt for you while you do it? I don't know if you know anybody like that. I don't. But I know there are people that will just come along and say, "Oh, my, that must be heavy. Why don't you..." It's like I'll tell Anna, "Darling, that is too heavy for you. Make two trips. Don't try to get it all in one." But, oh my, you reckon I'll have supper tonight. Anyway, be a doer. You know, "Oh, I just can't hardly get up the energy." I got some news for you. The harder you try, the more your energy will pick up. And if you'll get out and say, "Good morning, birds. How y'all doing today?" And like I like to hold the garden, you know, get out there and pick the fruit, the tomatoes. You know, man, what a time of the year to live. Hot? Yeah. Sweat? Yeah. Makes you feel good, though, when you eat one of them rascals. Take the salt shaker with you. Be careful. And eat that sucker right in the garden. It'll make you feel all the better, you know. But get a little... God built these things and he put a plumbing system in them. You know, medicine is about 70% common sense. He put a... isn't that right, Dr. Cornwell? Or even better, I think a doctor says it's more like 85 or something. I don't know. Put a plumbing system in here, and you've boiled water in a teapot or something, and you know what happens to the plumbing system in it if your water's hard, you know, it kind of gets caked up. Well, what you do when you exercise, you get the old plumbing kind of flushed out if you drink enough water with it. And it can work like it's supposed to. It gets the metabolism going, you know? And you feel better. I don't know how I got off on this. But what I'm saying is, you'll feel good if you work. If you do his work, especially part of the time. You'll feel good and you won't be, "Oh, Lord, I feel bad today. I just can't hardly move." Well, probably the reason is you haven't moved for a month. These old muscles have to get with it, you know. "Come with me tomorrow and climb mountains for a while," all right? "No, I don't want you." Okay, it's going to be so hot and the old temperature is going to be so high, the humidity up so much that if you're not in pretty good shape, you might not make it. I don't know, but I'm digressing and I'm not going to apologize. But you don't have to pray for God to do good to those that are good. He automatically will do it. But what am I saying? Take care of yourself and do God's work and be happy. Feel good. All right? You can. The best medicine in the world is exercise. 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 And the wisest person in the world, I don't know, let me ask you this. A lot of people like to exercise different ways. Here's a treadmill. I guess this is a phys ed class today, along with this. Here's the treadmill. I'm going to put my treadmill in front of the television, and I can watch television while I do my treadmill. Well, so you ride that sucker for a half hour. I rode my treadmill for a half hour, and that's good. But where did you go? Yeah, this time of the year when the yard needs something, or the garden, if you do your treadmill out there, you know, really, I mean, get into it. If that, pull them weeds and trim them trees and prune them and get right down in there, then you're going somewhere. But, hey, if your exercise is set up, you keep it up. There's nothing wrong with it. I just wanted to make a point that an old farmer is going to see and say and can't help himself, all right? All right, that's just the way it is, life. Verse 5. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. Who's Israel? The tribes that dispersed, and all that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, all that trust our Father. He's going to be there for you. That's His promise. And any time you get to feeling like, I'm just out here all alone, you're not. You're like Mount Zion. You know where Mount Zion is? That's the hill that the temple sits on. All right? And He's around you like mountains are around that hill to protect you, to guard you. Well, I can't see Him. No, well, you can feel Him, though, beloved, if you're careful. If you take time, you can really feel Him. Okay. Let's go back to the New Testament. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Well, I just don't know. I really am not afraid, but I can't help worrying a little bit, because really some heavy things happen to me sometimes. Oh? What's different about you than anybody else? I mean, life itself in this generation can hand you some heavy stuff. But it's not impossible, and you can handle it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Why did those... And for the sake of time, chapter 10 talks about the people wandering in the wilderness and building a golden calf. You know, when Moses is up talking to God, they want to go over here and practice religion. We want something new and different. And they build them a golden calf. It wouldn't have other calves, and it wouldn't give no milk, but it was a golden calf. Not fit for anything but to sit there, but they worshiped it instead of God. That's dangerous. Why did those things happen? Verse 11 of chapter 10, 1 Corinthians. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, so that you don't have to stumble over that same rock for 69 years. And they are written for your admonition, a warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Be patient, waiting for Christ. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you're going to stand against Satan, you better know your pistol's loaded. Spiritual pistol, that is, okay? I mean, at close range, at least go 12 gauge, all right, against Satan, all right? I mean, have your spiritual gun ready, all right? You won't have any problem. Verse 12. Wherefore, let him that... Oh, we got that, okay? 13. There hath no temptation taken you. Now, listen to this good. Do you know what temptation is? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It's just as common as it can be to have troubles. Oh, Lord, it just all happens to me. Does to everybody. It's life, all right? It's real. But such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Don't forget it, friend. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's why you can handle the rod of Satan. There's always a way for you if you kick. Always remember, trouble hits, Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Reach up and click on your brain. Put the gray matter in operation. And hey, what can we do? There's usually only two ways. That's the right way and the wrong way. You can do something, they're kind of in between. I don't know how, this is not planned. I don't know how I got off on this lecture. But I guess it's, maybe it's me that needs it, I don't know. But for heaven's sakes, turn the switch on, all right? Why? God promises you that you can handle it. I don't care how big, I don't care how large it seems to you at the moment. God says, I will give you a way out. And beloved, I believe that with all my heart. I do more than believe it. I know it. Do something. Even if you do wrong, just like he said, I'd rather you were hot or cold than lukewarm. Lukewarm, I spew out. If somebody does something wrong, I'll try to help them get back on the right. Then, you know, a wise person, it doesn't take them too long to know, hey, I took the wrong road back there. Now, I've gone quite a distance sometimes before I come to that conclusion, but he'll let you know, and by the time the day is all finished and over, you're where you really wanted to be anyway, and it didn't amount to a hill of beans. Right? He'll always show you a way. That's his promise. Read the Word. Gain the knowledge. The things that happen to God's children then happen to them, so you won't let the same thing happen to you today. Don't fall into the traps they did. And he will always, I mean, you can count on it. It's a cinch. It's a guarantee. He'll show you a way if you'll hang tight and not get shook up. 14, what's he concerned about? Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Don't worship the false Messiah. That's what happens at the end of the world. Don't let somebody pull you off. They have this famous thing. You know, I found out today they even sell books about me. Bad. I mean, not good books, my friend. Well, I guess in a way, as long as they come from anti-Christians, that's kind of a compliment, you know? But they come out saying, that man teaches the serpent seed doctrine. I don't. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? But yes, he teaches it. I teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Matthew 13. The tares. That's the teachings of Christ, not the serpent. Don't give him credit for it. Christ said it. All right? Now, anyway, be on guard. You're living in a generation, and that's why I'm bringing this very simple lecture to you, is to sharpen your awareness that you must beware religions. So many bad things are done in the name of religion. You know that? Always make sure that Christ is at the head of it, that our Father is at the head of it. Okay? Verse 15, having said all these things, he says, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. In other words, it's up to you. I speak as though you have wisdom, is what he's saying. But you judge it yourself. Why? Because it's going to hit on so many different levels, it'll sound like a scale being played on a piano at the levels that God's Word are always heard at. It's according to wherever someone is in their knowledge of God's Word. Book of James, in conclusion. James was written to a people. You want to always rightly divide the Word. Right after the book of Hebrews, we got the book of James. While you're turning there, I'm going to say, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Right? That's James's word, not mine. Right? James teaches that. that they're scattered. So that you don't have any problem with it, okay? Rightly dividing the word is to know who he's talking to, because that's important. All right, verse 5. Let's go to chapter 5. I'm sorry. Chapter 5, the book of James. I'm going to wind down here in just a little bit. I've had all the exercise I need for him. I'm not going to run over very much. That's what I'm saying. Okay, chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. I hope all of you have at least had a garden. He says, you do it, you gain patience by being like a farmer. That's what a husbandman is a farmer. He does what? This is how you gain it. What does he do first? He clears it. Then he turns it. He cultivates it. And he knows right away, because our bodies are organic, that he's got to put an organic mixture in there so that the seed he places in there produces fruit, all right? Good fruit. This is how you gain patience. You do this to yourself, all right? You first clear yourself. You ever have one of them little computers where you get everything all jumbled up and you say, oh, I want to start over, and you punch clear, and a lot of times it will. Well, that's what you do to yourself, you know, occasionally, is clear it all out and learn patience the way a farmer does. You know, there is nothing. You borrow $200,000 or $300,000 and go out here and plow up a field and buy a bunch of fertilizer and stuff and throw it in there and begin to pray for rain. And if it doesn't rain, guess what? You're out $200,000 or $300,000. And a lot of people say farmers have such an easy life. Biggest bunch of gamblers in the world. But in God's way, they gamble. It's good. It's good. It's exciting, all right? But do this for yourself. Organic matter doesn't cost as much if you make your own stuff, you know, or get it out of the cow lot stuff, okay? And put it out there and spread it real nice and tend it. Do that to yourself. How do you put organic, which is really food for the ground? Where do you get your food? You see, when God teaches something, you got to get with it, friend. You get your food right here. The Word of God is food for our bodies, because it teaches us how to operate these things. It's the instructions where you know what to do with this body, all right? And then the rains come along, and he gets out there and he harvests it. Well, occasionally you're going to harvest some of your fruit. You're going to plant a seed and it's going to grow and you're going to be thrilled to death. I know many of you have had someone that, could you tell me more about that? That's exciting. And boy, you just get all revved up. Your motor's purring and you're ready to start teaching. Will I tell you more? Stick around. How much time have you got? And here you go. It makes you feel good. That's fruit. All right. So gain patience like a farmer. All right. Only translate that to your own self, body. All right. Verse 8. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know what establish is? That's establish. Your heart, better translate your mind. Settle it in your mind. It's coming close. How do we know? We know we're in the generation of the fig tree. And settle that in your mind that you can be patient. You don't have to be afraid. My word, the Heavenly Father protects you. It's all around you. If you believe and if you trust. And grudge not one against another. Don't murmur against each other. Brethren, lest you be condemned. God will. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. God's judge, and he keeps books. And he keeps a good set of books, too. Now, what'll I write by his name today? So, when you're judging what somebody's name is being written in the book by, remember, yours is too, all right? It helps you not be so judgmental at times. 10, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Hey, some of those old boys really went through it. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. Translate that compassionate. I don't know why the lo ami and ami in Hebrew, or the lo, gets a little confusing, all right? Ruhama, it doesn't mean pitiful in English. It means compassionate and of tender mercy. He likes to have happy endings. Look at old Job. He had twice what he went in with. He even got to get rid of that old girl that told him, why don't you just lay down and die, you old sucker? And you know, he got rid of her, too. I think. I don't know. Nobody knows for sure. Okay. She sure didn't hold out much. She didn't have much patience. I'll say that much for her. But then, who would have? Look at Job. He was a sore boil from head to toe. And she had it with him. God must be so put out with you. Anyway, Job made it through. Compare yourself. Sometimes when you really are on a poor me baby jag, think about Job, all right? Or think about Christ on the cross when he died for you. Think about it. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. That's very important. Man, since the Tower of Babel, let's work out our own salvation. Let's build us a tower and build that sucker so high that if God decides to flood this earth again, we can all just climb right up to that rascal and just laugh at heaven. You know, we'll be in heaven. We built our own heaven. Be careful, my friend, with religion. I swear to you, I'll find a way that we can all find salvation here. We'll figure this out and figure that out. You better do it God's way. It's already figured out. All you have to do is turn this on and understand it. Or you're going someplace. Don't be fooled. 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If any be merry, let him sing psalms. And that's great. You know, if you ever worked around somebody, they're, I mean, here you think, man, this has been a long day and things, and they're, la da da da, oh, pretty buttons, pretty ribbons in her hair. They just sing while they're working, you know, it just rolls off of them, you know. Well, they're merry. They're happy. That's good. That's a good sign. And I've never had any voice lessons. I know that may come as a surprise to you, but it's just natural. Just natural. 14. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. It's important that you remember the oil, and you can do it to yourself. You don't have to call the elders. Can if you want to, but it isn't necessary because it's Christ that's going to do it. But it's very important that you remember the oil. Many people ask, well, do you still believe in healing? How could I not? It's written, okay? It's there. If you do it his way, the oil doesn't do it. But it's obedience to him. You're doing it the way he told you to. And he might, if it fits his plan. 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise up him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That means, what does that mean? It's not all written there. That means he's got to be anointed. He's got to save. He's got to repent because the sins are forgiven and God touches him, okay? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I caution people about, many times people want to blurt out or confess. Don't confess something that will hurt somebody. Now, a lot of you are not going to understand what I'm saying. But don't let your mess up hurt somebody else. If it's already been repented for, forgiven, it's gone, it's smoke in the woods and down the trail and everything has changed. Okay? Don't hurt somebody else. A lot of people take this confession thing. I'm sorry to say, well, I don't want to go into that because it's a family locally that a confession one time caused a death. I mean, it's bad business, you know, if you don't kick this in gear first, all right? But it is, what it's talking about actually is if you're, you know, we're human beings and we get down a little bit sometimes. And it's good to have a communicating partner. A good friend is what we call it. Somebody that you can sit down and talk to and kind of talk it out. Doesn't hurt nobody, and you know, sometimes two minds can be better than one. That's what it's talking about, okay? It's good to have a good friend, all right? But don't get a good friend for your confessions that's a ratchet jaw or a motor mouth, okay? You know, that went kind of flat, didn't it? I wonder why. Has it ever happened to some of you or something? I don't know. Okay. Verse 17. Elias, that's to say old Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You know what he said? He said, Elijah is not a bit different than you are. He wasn't super spiritual. He wasn't supernatural. He's just like you. All right? But when he prayed earnestly, and of course you know what that 3.5 year period symbolizes, all right? It's been whittled all the way down to 5 months, all right? But what it's saying is God will hear your prayer. You don't have to be, you don't have to screw your face all up, take a fresh shower, put on a white robe and say, oh, Father, okay? I mean, try to look holy. Because you are, if you are, regardless of what kind of clothes you got on or whether you've had a shower or not. Now, I hope nobody, I wish I hadn't said that because we all respectfully, you know, like, hey, look, I got on a new red sports coat today. Why? I put it on for God. See, because respect for Him and meeting with Him. But earlier this morning, I had on a T-shirt I hadn't shaved yet when I studied to bring this over to you. Okay? And God talked to me. So I keep things in their perspective. Elijah was no different than you are. And God hears you when you're honest with Him. You can't con Him. Just get it out of your mind. You can't con Him. And He knows our sins. Now Him you'd better confess to, and Him you'd better talk to. Verse 18. And he prayed again, Elijah, that is, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. It did it. And he's no different than you. Verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, this word convert's interesting, it means to put in reverse, kind of. The really prime root is to put in reverse, all right? But take it as you've always thought it. He was the biggest drunk in town, and I helped convert him. hadn't had a drink in a week. And they find, anyway, verse 20, let him know that he which converteth, okay, that means put in reverse. Hey, do you know what happens to a car if you're doing 90 miles an hour and throw her in reverse? You want to use common sense on this reversing stuff sometimes, okay? Which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. When you do a work for God, it hides a multitude of sin. And boy, we all need it. Of course, the main thing it's talking about is you're going to hide his. You're going to help him. What a gift to give someone. All right? But again, now some of you, you study. I lost my notes back there on the floor. I didn't need them anyway, did I? Well, it wasn't what I started out with, but we got there. I'm through just about. But converting people, when you get all loaded up here, you know, I see that and I see this and I see that and I see that. And some poor person comes along and said, could you answer a question for me? Which way did the bus go? And I'll tell him. And you just unload the whole thing, whether he asked for it or not. You know what I mean? It's like throwing a car in reverse going 90 miles an hour, and you say, I need to see a good transmission man. Be careful. Be gentle, all right, when you're converting people. But listen, it'll pay the greatest rewards in the world for you. It causes God to love you. And I must say that you in this ministry are part of a body that I don't know why God chose us. I really don't. But we do a lot of that converting. I mean, hard cases. Druggies. A lot of people say, the way that man talks to them drug users about how stupid they are. Hey, it works. Let the Holy Spirit, through me, tell them what they need to hear. You know. That be hard on them. They need it. Some of these sob sisters from the local, oh, dear God, I'm going to pray for you, my boy. I can see you need prayer. And the druggie's saying, I need $5 to get another fix is what I need. Sister, can you help me? Need a hamburger? I'm going to quit. This is really getting bad, you know. But we do touch a lot of people, and we know from letters, all right, of confessions and testimonies that it is a beautiful thing. And God does truly bless this many-membered body for all those that we touch. Changing lives, the Word will do it. Not us, the Word does it. And don't slack off. Right? Plow deep, turn it over good, and you'll have a good crop, all right? So, Father, we thank you, Father, for your Word, and we know you do not wish us to be afraid or to worry, because you're in control, Father. We love you so very much for that. In Yahshua's precious name, amen. Mm-hmm.